We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different. This is Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Athens, Illinois, and Trinity Lutheran Church in Darmstadt, Illinois. And I have at my right hand
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church in beautiful South St. Louis, Missouri.
Quite close to Ted Drew's ice cream, right?
That is right.
There you go. That's what makes that a significant way.
That's how I give directions to the church.
And you know what, Matt? I want to thank you because, we'd kind of backed off the whole kale issue. But I'm thinking, it's risky business, but I'm not, maybe we have to, if we're going to do radio, we have to be willing to take some risks.
That's right. It's our duty. It's our duty, especially when it's in the news. First, in the forefront, yeah. We just have to.
Thank you for bringing me this article from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, by the way, just so people know that this is legitimate.
We're not making things up.
No. That McDonald's now embraces a new kind of ingredient, kale. Think about that. Kale has gotten so big kale, that now they're even taking over the fast food places, taking over McDonald's. Who would have dreamt that
of
something
all
like
places? You would think they would be the last domino to fall in this chain effect that kale's having. This diabolical plan, but no.
See, I saw it coming, though, Matt. I'm glad you brought this up because it's something that has been bothering me. Have you noticed now that when you go to the grocery store, they have these little packages of baby carrots? There's this nice little individual packages of baby carrots.
Really?
You can give to your kids. They can take them into their lunchbox. They're just individually wrapped packages. You're saying to yourself, well, what's the harm? It's a baby carrot. What's the harm in that?
Seems innocent enough.
Well, but see, that's the thing. The baby carrots, that's a gateway vegetable. You start eating the little baby carrots, and the next thing you know, you're on the hard stuff like asparagus, cauliflower, and then you have McDonald's putting kale. I don't know where they're going to put the kale at. That scares me now. I'm almost afraid to buy anything there that it might have kale.
Where are they sneaking the kale
in there? Go ahead.
Well, I mean, that's why I'm glad you brought up Ted Drew's, because, there's
no
kale
in Ted Drew's. No, baby carrots, no asparagus.
You are safe.
Went out for Mother's Day with the family, went to Gallagher's there. I'm thinking it's a safe place to eat fried chicken. That's what they're known for.
Oh, yeah,
fried chicken.
Oh, good stuff.
They're serving asparagus. Okay, all right, it's Mother's Day. You can kind of expect. And they have the asparagus wrapped in bacon, Matt.
Oh,
so it's kind of a thing for mothers and for fathers. But what disturbed me is normally I would just unwrap the bacon and eat it, right? Isn't that what you do?
And leave the asparagus.
Exactly. But they apparently had like super glued or something. I'm not sure what you do with food, but it would not come off the asparagus. You literally had to eat the asparagus to get the bacon.
I think they staple it.
I bet it was.
Staple it
now that you say
asparagus.
That, yeah, the food staples. Well, you can
which are made of kale.
That's right. All right, so I'm just warning you people. The change is coming, and if we don't do something to stop it, nobody will, I guess.
We are doing our part. You're rest of the basics. Now it's your turn, dear listeners, to do your part.
We can't do everything. All right. Well, this is what we can do. And look, I understand people out there are right saying, don't these guys pay attention? Last week was Pentecost. This week it's Trinity Sunday. We understand that. But we are wrapped up in giving you this wonderful preaching of John and his gospel about the resurrection of Jesus. So we're just holding the course. Who knows? Maybe in a few weeks we'll talk about the ascension.
We can always hope.
That's right.
Well, and we just talked last week about food in our Rest of the Basics episode.
And did you notice there were no vegetables?
No vegetables.
No
mentioned.
Vegetables. No. Fish and bread.
No,
that's what you're supposed to be eating.
Jesus never multiplies kale, does he? I think that's interesting.
Now that's a point. We need to write that down. I think that's an argument in our favor. That's right. The little boy didn't have baby carrots and kale. He had fish and two loaves.
Yeah,
All righty. Now, Matt, what do you want to talk about? You want to read? You want me to read? Why are we going to do this?
I can read. So last week we talked about that great catch of fish, and we heard that this is
153
of them. 153. We got the exact number even of this real-life account, not just some fairy tale. And then we have...
And you know what they would do when they would catch that fish? They would go through the nets, and they'd throw out all of the kale and the seaweed, and they would only keep the fish.
Keep the fish. That's the good stuff. Yeah, of course. Then that account ended by saying that this was the third time that Jesus had revealed himself to the disciples after he had risen from the dead.
And I'm glad, because I'd forgotten about that, but I wanted to comment on that because, you know, for some reason I had this impression that it was like every morning they were waking up, oh, there's Jesus, how's he doing today? Or, you know, maybe they're out walking of an evening and Jesus just kind of pops in, how you guys doing, how was your day? But after, what is this? This is at least, what, 2-3 weeks? Do we know how long this is?
Well, at least we know they're in a different place at the very least. So some time has passed. So we had that first appearance the evening of Easter Sunday, then a week later that second appearance to Thomas and the rest of the disciples, and now we're, you know, a ways after that. We don't know the exact number of days for sure, but they're no longer in Jerusalem. Now they're at the Sea of Galilee, as Jesus had instructed them to do.
And this is just the third time. The third time.
Exactly.
So that kind of surprised me. But then I thought about it. Well, that's the point. It's not like we need to have Jesus show up every day and make breakfast for us. Although, did you make breakfast for your wife last week, like we talked about?
Oh, of course.
Remember?
I did, John.
Okay.
Of course.
Yeah, I did too. Got up early so we could sit and eat the eggs and the bacon while we were listening to Wrestling with the Basics.
What?
Oh, we shouldn't be saying stories like that, should we? But it's a contrast between the Bible, which is always true, and then the things that Matt and John say, which are maybe true, maybe not.
We're just giving an illustration.
That's right.
Well, should we get on to the truth?
Yeah, we should. We really should. Because I don't even know why we... What was I talking about there? What point was I trying to make? I don't know.
We don't know either, John.
Oh, I know what I was trying to make. Is the fact of the matter is, what we're trying to establish is Jesus is risen from the dead. That's all that matters. It's not like he's got to be showing up doing miracles every time in our life, because he's not doing that in our lives either. But he is risen from the dead. That's a fact. That's all we're trying to establish here. Okay, we live in a life where Jesus is hidden. And that's okay. He can be hidden because he is there. He's alive and well. He's taking care of everything in our lives day in and day out, whether we can see him or not. That's the point.
And we'll talk about that more when we get to the ascension.
Okay.
Sometime.
I think we promise people that we definitely need to do it. So let's get to the truth, as you said, Matt.
Okay. All right. John chapter 21, beginning with verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep."
All right, let's just stop there, Matt. So it's what we've been talking about, because this is what's always impressed me about these chapters. We've got this issue of Peter having denied the Lord, needing to reconcile with the Lord. I think, like you said last week, Matt, he is repentant. He's sorrowful what he's done wrong. Mm-hmm. And when we're sorrowful, we need to make amends. We need to reestablish our fellowship with the people that we've offended. He tried to do that Easter morning. Remember how he rushed down to the tomb? He wanted to get down there before John did. Well, John was a little faster, got to the tomb first. Didn't make any difference. Jesus wasn't there anyway. This is the third time. Remember, we taught the third time. So twice he was in an upper room, but he was with everybody. Mm-hmm. He couldn't take Jesus off to the side. People said, "What's that? What's that all about?" Then we talked about last week that when Jesus appeared on the shore again, Peter thought, "Here's my opportunity. I'm gonna swim ashore. I'll talk to Jesus before everybody else gets there." Well, they weren't far enough away, or he was too slow of a swimmer, as you said, Matt. But whatever.
Just scared.
That's right. Might have just been
him
too
and
shy.
Hauling around. Yeah.
So he doesn't get the conversation done there, and now all of a sudden Jesus initiates the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good point. So Jesus brings it to light, even if Peter's not willing to. And here he asks some questions. And I like this detail, too, that John includes. When they had finished eating breakfast,
I love that. That's right.
So they still have that time of fellowship. Jesus still is that servant. He still provides this meal. And then when they're finished, Then he addresses Peter.
Yeah. Again, the same pattern. And I really appreciate this, Matt, because you've made me kind of rethink things. The fact that Jesus is doing everything. He's given us the food we have for our breakfast in the morning. But like you said, he's also concerned about our spiritual welfare. He wants to talk to us and share his word with us, both the word that creates the physical blessings we have, but also the word that creates faith. And I like that picture here, too. So I fed you guys, but now I've got some issues I need to address with, and particularly with you, Peter, because I know there's something troubling your conscience.
Yes. Yeah, and then he goes ahead and he addresses Peter, and I think it's kind of interesting how he addresses him, the words he uses.
Yes.
He doesn't say Peter, he says Simon, son of John.
Yeah.
So he kind of goes back to his old name and son of John. He says that twice. Well, actually, he says it three times. He refers to him each time. He refers to him as Simon, son of John. So just sort of interesting here. You know, you think you're, you know, a rock. You think, you know, you're Peter. You know, well,
Peter. Yeah. The nickname, by the way, that Jesus gave him.
Mm-hmm, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, so not that's bad, but he calls him here by Simon, son of John.
And so when you call your children by their full name,
because
that's what he's doing, Simon, son of, what is it?
Simon, son of John.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what the Greek word there was for John. Was it Ioannis?
Yeah.
I guess it was. Okay, so, well, whatever. When you call your kids by their full name, what does that mean?
That means there's trouble. They're in trouble. Watch it.
Okay. And it always tickles me, too, because John highlights that because Jesus said to Simon Peter. So John reminds us, this is his name given by birth, Simon, and this is the nickname Jesus gave him, Peter. And isn't it striking, like you said, no mention of the nickname anymore, just the full name, Simon, son of John. And I often wondered how Peter would have responded to that when he was addressed that way.
Yeah. What, Lord? No more Peter? What is it? You know, not a trouble necessarily, but just to get his attention, too, I would imagine.
Yeah.
That full name, Simon, son of John.
Yeah. This is a serious discussion.
Yeah. I know who you are. Yeah. So when they're having this discussion, who is there? Is it just one-on-one with Jesus and Peter? Or are the other disciples in on this conversation, too? You know, what do you think?
My impression, especially because of the way Jesus talks to him, is that whether they're actually right there next to them, the other disciples are party to this conversation.
Because
don't you kind of get the impression Jesus is kind of tiptoeing around the real issue here?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the impression I'm getting, is that he's dealing one-on-one with Peter, but everybody else is kind of, what's he want to talk to Peter about? Let's edge up a little closer.
Yeah.
See if we can listen in the conversation.
Yeah, I kind of get that impression, too. It's certainly a conversation between Peter and Jesus, but the other disciples sort of listening in, and maybe even intentionally on Jesus' part to allow them to listen in.
I think that
first question, do you love me more than these? We see a couple times where Peter's boasted about loving Jesus more, being more dedicated, and really in front of the other disciples, too.
That's exactly right.
And so now, in front of the other disciples, do you really love me more than these?
And that's exactly the point, isn't it, Matt? Because that's what he said. Now, I don't know about the rest of these, but so it's very pointed. Yeah, okay, now in front of these guys, let's go back over and rehearse that story.
Yeah.
Anything else on that? I'd say do you love me more? And by the way, you know what the word for love there is, don't you?
Well, in this one, it's agape.
Agape,
right?
Yeah. See, that's one of the bad things, because you kind of miss some of the power of this, because the English just uses the same word. But the word is going to change here, and I think that's really significant. But that's the question. Do you agape me? That's the commandment, by the way, that God has given all of us, that we would love one another, that we would agape them. It is also the commandment given even for our enemies, that we would agape our enemies. Matt, do you want me to give my spiel? Or what do you, when you want to talk about agape, what do you tell people about?
Well, I talk about, like you said, love, but then this, even, you know, this grace-filled love, and sometimes we even call it unconditional love. And John 3:16, for instance, is agape that's used in that. That's the most famous
of
Bible verses.
That
love agape of God for the world, that word agape is used.
And the other classic passage, I think, is in the Gospel of John, come to think of it. No greater love, no greater agape does a man have than this, than he lay down his life for his friends.
Yes.
Paul says in this Christ, and this God shows his agape for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So, yeah, it's that, like you said, you hit it right on the head for me, Matt, the unconditional part of it.
Yeah.
Agape is an act of the will that you're going to do something good for somebody regardless of whether you like them or not, whether they deserve it or not. No, you're hungry and I'm going to feed you. You're thirsty. You need drink. I'm going to do that for you. And Matt, it's not about you, not about how I might feel about you. It's just, that's what agape is. It just does the good thing for the other person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. So he uses that word agape here, yeah, and then he uses it the second time,
yeah,
too,
but
right?
Let's keep him in suspense for what he uses the third time, because he changes things around the third time, doesn't he? So he's saying, Matt, okay, do you agape me more than these? And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I, and it's agape there again, you know that I agape you. So what's going on here?
Well, I mean, I wonder if Peter knows what Jesus is doing at this point.
I
think by the time he gets to the third one, he probably figures out, that's what's happening here. But I wonder if, if you're Peter and you kind of put yourself in his shoes, you're wondering if his feelings are kind of hurt. You know, well, of course, Lord. What do you mean?
Yeah.
I've given up everything to follow you. I'm here. I'm in this, Lord. I was willing to even defend you, in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord. Yeah, yeah. Of course I love you.
Oh, I like that thought, Matt. I hadn't even thought of it that way before. But yeah, so it is kind of that kind of hurts my feelings that you say this.
Yeah.
But of course, in the back of his mind, he's thinking, well, yeah, I know every reason why you're asking me that.
Exactly.
But I can't sit in front of these guys.
Yeah.
But you're right. He's kind of playing like, well, that's kind of, well, of course I agape you. Which I think makes Jesus' response all the more striking. Shall I read the next verse?
Yeah. Well, this and then and Jesus builds on it. His response is always pastoral. It's, what does he say there? Feed my lambs.
Yeah.
Attend
yeah.
my sheep. You know, yeah. as he goes on, he's using this picture of a shepherd and sheep, which I just, I love it, you know, as a pastor, of course. You know, but this idea that Jesus, the good shepherd, is now restoring Peter, but also sort of commissioning Peter, too, to be a shepherd to the sheep, to the good shepherd sheep. And as we see, you know, in Peter's life, he certainly will be that. But really, that I love that language and how, as pastors, we're called to be shepherds of the flock, of God's flock, pastors to God's people, shepherd to his sheep. And even in our different vocations as parents, certainly Christian parents have that same kind of calling too as they raise their children. But just love that language, that image that not only is Peter a fisher of men, but he's also a shepherd of sheep.
And boy, now see, you've just made that so much richer for me because, like you said, this is the Jesus role. He's the good shepherd.
Yeah, this is a big deal.
He's the one that tends the lambs.
Yeah.
He's the ones that feed the sheep. And I'm thinking at this point, Peter is thinking what Jesus is going to say. Peter, you're out. Okay?
Yeah.
You know, come on now. You can act like, oh, what are you asking me whether I love you? You know exactly why I'm asking you why you love me. And yet you don't have enough courage to admit that you denied me after boasting. And I'm sure that's what Peter thinks. He thinks, well, this is it. I'm out. You know, Jesus is going to say, you're a good fisherman. You keep on fishing. You'll do a good job of that, but you know, I thought you could be an apostle, but obviously that's not going to work out. And now you're making me think, what a rich response then when Jesus says, tend my lambs. Not only am I going to keep you as an apostle, you're going to be doing my job.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be doing the task of the good shepherd. I'm trusting you with the sheep that belong to me. Now that's got to be a powerful affirmation. That would overwhelm you for Jesus to say, you know, I trust you so much, I'm actually going to give you my own sheep that you can take care of them.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
And I love how you emphasize it. It's his Jesus sheep.
Yes.
It's my lambs, my sheep. And how you know, what an amazing commission that is to tend and care for the good shepherd's sheep.
It humbles me now that I think about it, because that's the same assignment that's been given to us.
Yeah.
And like you said, given to everyone that's listening to us, if you're a parent, you have sheep to tend to. If you're a teacher, you have sheep to tend to. We all have people that God has given us responsibility to as mothers and fathers. And yeah, these are his sheep. And what a wonderful thing that he's given us the commission, as you said, to take care of those that belong to him.
And to recognize that these sheep aren't our own, but they're Jesus' sheep, it causes us to hopefully that much more show love for them and care for them because if we've been entrusted with them.
See, that's the problem, isn't it? We begin to think they're ours, then we can get angry at them and we probably do things we shouldn't do. No, if we realize they don't belong to us, maybe we'll have a little more concern for them. So, next verse, you want me to read or you want to read?
Sure, where are we at?
Verse 16.
Oh, verse 16. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep.
Okay, so same language here again, agape, do you agape me? Yes, I agape you. And again, this remarkable thing that, okay, Peter, even though you denied me three times, still, you can go ahead and I want you to take responsibility for my sheep. Anything you see particularly noteworthy in that second time?
Well, that's just kind of interesting. He changes from lambs to sheep.
Do you see anything in that?
Well, I don't know, just the care for all of those in the Good Shepherd's flock. Lambs, we usually think of the younger. Sheep, we think of perhaps older. But all of the sheep, all in the flock of the Good Shepherd, perhaps.
Yeah, I like that thought. So in other words, okay, well, you're not really good enough to take care of the sheep, but I'll let you take care of the little lambs.
Yeah.
But no, you're right. No, I'm giving you full responsibility, no restrictions in terms of the things that belong to me that I'm going to give to you. Yeah, I can see that. That works for me. The third time he said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Do you know what word is used there, Matt?
Yeah, it switches that a different love word instead of agape phileo. We get Philadelphia from that. Another word of love, sort of more of a brotherly love.
Brotherly love, the love of friendship, In fact, in that passage, no greater agape does a man have than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. The word friends there is actually based upon the same word. Mm-hmm, so that's the idea. This love of friendship of husband, wife, children, parents, that's why I think it says that he grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" There's a couple reasons why he grieves, and I think one of them is because Jesus says, really, you agape me, Peter? Is that right? You agape me?
Yeah.
Do you even love me, Peter? Do you even have the proper affection and friendship for me? Really? And that would grieve you. I think that would grieve you for Jesus to say, are you even my friend?
Yeah.
And
do you deny a friend three times to you? No, of course not.
Yeah. And that's the other part, of course, the third time, as you were alluding to a moment ago. There's something going on here. This isn't fluke or accident because, of course, he's bringing to mind that, yes, you denied me three times. My thought has been, I'll throw this out, Matt, and maybe you think I'm crazy, but I've often wondered if after the second question, Peter might be thinking, well, maybe Jesus doesn't know that I denied him. Because Jesus actually didn't witness that. Jesus shows up after it's over. And I wonder if for a brief moment Peter was thinking, oh, here, I was worried about this, and Jesus didn't even know I did it. Well, of course, he prophesied it. But then again, he might have just forgotten, or who knows, And of course, if there was any thought like that, well, no, Jesus knows exactly.
Of course. Yeah, isn't that interesting? Well, I think, going along that line, then Peter then, though, appeals to his omniscience and says, right after that, Lord, you know everything. Yes. You know that I love you. And you wonder, Peter at least is recognizing that Jesus knows the good stuff. He knows his love for him, surely. But maybe forgets that he also knows about the denials, too.
And to me, that's the confession. He can't say it out in the open because he's got all these other guys standing there. And Jesus doesn't demand that he say it out in the open. Jesus handles this all very secretively, too. But I think that's the confession. All right, Jesus, you know what's going on.
Between you and me, Jesus, you know everything, right? You know what I'm talking about.
I love that. Between you and me. And what's neat is Jesus accepts that at this point, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. People, you got to understand, all the Lord wants to do is to let you know that he loves you and forgive you. That's the only reason he wants you to make a confession, is so that he can then in turn give you the forgiveness of sins. So it's just so beautiful. All right. Peter will have to make the public confession before it's over, though, won't he? Because it shows up in the scriptures, so we know he must have told him at some point.
But just that restoration that our Lord wants for his sheep and for his shepherds, too. And hear that forgiveness for Peter he desires to give to us, too.
Yeah. That's the important point. Thank you, Matt, for you and me. God bless you.